There's the wonder of springtime and harvest. The sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves you. Just to think that God loves you.
Amen. Thank you so much. It is an amazing thing that God loves us.
In that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is an amazing thought. Thank you so much for that message and song as well. You know, as we were singing, as I think about what I'm ready to share with you from God's Word this morning, I go back to that song that we just sang, How Firm a Foundation. Did you catch the words to that last verse? I will not. You know, the idea there is we are going to be determined to stand on our firm foundation. I'm not going to go anywhere from it. This morning, I want to preach a message concerning the idea of being moved away from the hope of the gospel. Being moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, change is good for some things. Change is good. Change is not always bad. Change can be a good thing. Sometimes you can get stuck in a rut of a certain thing, and a change in a certain way can be a wonderful thing. It can be a good thing. It can get you out of that habit. It can get you out of that thing that maybe you're not even thinking about any longer. Change can be a good thing, but in some cases, change can be a very bad thing. I would suggest to you today that we are going through a lot of changes in our world. And I would say there are some things in our world that are changing that are very alarming and very destructive. Change in our world today. There's things in America that it seems like daily are changing, folks. I don't think that I have to preach long and hard about that. We are seeing change take place. Life is different from a year ago in America. The attitudes are changing about America. Things are changing almost on a daily basis with the principles and the foundations that have been laid for us as a country. Things are changing, and I would say not for the good. Things are changing in our churches. And I would suggest to you that many of those might be good, but there are a lot of changes that are taking place in our churches today that are not for the good. There are things that are taking place and changes being made in our families that are destructive. Things that are influencing people and young people to to make changes in their lives that are destructive and that are so devastating to them. And I don't think that at the age they're at, they don't understand what's going on. And we're giving it to them hook, line, and sinker, and they don't understand. Changes in our families, and I would also suggest there's changes in our personal lives that are taking place that are not always so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, 1 Corinthians 15:58 is a verse that completes a chapter that is very doctrinally found for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. We understand this passage in the context of what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ a foundational truth that we must understand? What do you think? Absolutely. Without the resurrection, we have what? We have death as victor. We have life as non-existent. Our Jesus Christ's resurrection was foundational for who He was to lay for us in victory, but it's also foundational for us who we are because we also have that victory. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ very, very, very important? It is. It's so important. And Paul lays forward this doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And he goes through it very thoroughly and says, listen, and he gives the ins and outs of why they must understand, because there were people, everybody listen, there were people in the current time that Paul is writing this with this church in Corinth that were opposing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were seeing it outside their walls of the church building. They were going outside and the resurrection was being denied. The resurrection was being destroyed. They were trying to get rid of that because they understood that if they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it meant a whole lot of different things in their lives. And it meant that Jesus was victorious over everything. They did not want the resurrection to come alive. And here Paul is saying, folks, this is the truth. You've got to understand the truth. And so he spends all of chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians laying down that firm foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we get to the end of the chapter in verse 58. And he goes on and he says a very important word. What's the first word of that last verse? It is, therefore. I want to tell you something. This word is super important to us today. Therefore. Therefore what? The first thing that I... Well, let me read the verse and then I want to come back to that word, therefore. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God, I need your help right now, and these people need your help. Lord, I pray that you would take all tiredness. I pray that you would take all thoughts of other things. I pray that you would take all distractions, physical distractions, emotional, mental, whatever they are. God, would you take all distractions away? Would you help me to be focused? And would you help these folks to be focused? And you would speak through me and give your word to them, and that truth would be given this morning. It's something for us that we absolutely need with all that we're going through today. God, would you help us? Help me. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. He starts off with the word, therefore. Therefore what? What's the significance of therefore? You've got to have something beforehand if you're going to go to a therefore, right? Therefore indicates there's something very important that we just went through, and therefore there is a practical conclusion and application for it. But if you didn't have the first 57 verses, could Paul have said, therefore? No. There had to be all those 57 verses. Then he comes and says, therefore. Now, in this case, he lays down the doctrine of the resurrection and then says, therefore, because of all that you have heard and learned. Therefore is a word based on the foundation and doctrine that has just been given. Practical admonition and practice must always come from solid doctrine that has been given. Did you hear that? Practical application, practical admonition must come from solid doctrine. Solid doctrine is laid. And by the way, if solid doctrine is laid and there is no application, then we as individuals have a hard time saying, okay, how does that apply to my life now? So the Bible puts doctrine there. We see the truth of the matter. And then based upon the truth, then we get that practical. Now here's what you do with this truth. Doctrine needs an application. But can I say the opposite? Application absolutely needs the doctrine that lays down that foundation. We have some instruction here to be steadfast and unmovable, but can I tell you, folks, it comes from the word therefore. What has been stated in the first 57 verses is very, very, very important. Solid doctrine must be first. You know, in the society and system that we live in today, and I'm going to be very specific about America today, in the place that we live in today, there are some major things that are taking place in America. And there's a lot more than what I have to share with you this morning, but there are four major tenets of today, and the truth is being questioned. For just a moment this morning, and by the way, the first point is understanding the truth of the truth. For just a moment, I want to point out four things today, currently, that are being attacked. And I want to very briefly share with you the truth of some matters because it's important for us to understand the doctrine. Just like Paul went through in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then gives them a therefore, now here's something to do with it. I want you to see some things that are doctrine today. They've always been doctrine and they're doctrine to us, but they are being opposed today. Four things. Number one, the sanctity of life is being challenged. The sanctity of life. And we can go on both ends of the spectrum. We can talk about the young and the old. That is being challenged today. Do you see it? We see it all over the place. And folks, I want to tell you something. We as individuals, we need to understand the truth of the matter. What does God say about the sanctity of life? I want you to take your Bibles and we're going to turn to a number of scriptures and I want everybody to stay in tune with this. This could be one of the most important messages you hear for a little while. Genesis chapter 1, would you go there? Genesis chapter 1. Not that any message is not important, but get this one if you get one of them. Get this one. Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at verses 26 and 27. Genesis is a book of foundations. Here, laying down the foundation of life. The foundation of God and the foundation of life. What does Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27 tell us about the sanctity of life? And when I say sanctity of life, we're talking about what kind of life? Human life. The sanctity of human life is addressed right here in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I want you all to look in your Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible this morning, look in front of you. There should be a pew Bible there, please, or scoot next to a neighbor. Look with me in the Word. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Here we see that we as humans are created in God's image. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." After our likeness, that would be the image of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is in the image of God we were made. and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Why is sanctity of life important concerning this verse? We are all created in what? God's image. If we're created in God's image, is it destructive to look at life in a very poor manner? Of course it is. We've got to understand that human beings, we are created, I am created in God's image. That is something that's not shared with an animal. That is something that human beings are created. We are created in God's image. Therefore, life is important. Human life is very important. And who are we to go against that? Psalm 139, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Follow with me there. Go there quickly. Psalm 139, very important verse, set of verses. Here we see God, we are made in his image, and he has created us in that image. And we are a wonderful work. Psalm 139, start in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, David says. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He's speaking of God the Father. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God has perfectly and wonderfully made us in his image. Jeremiah says in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And here's a key word, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. When did God ordain Jeremiah? I want to tell you something. He says, before thou camest out of the womb. God had a special plan for every human being before. Folks, can I tell you something? Everybody listen this way. God's truth teaches very clearly that there is sanctity of human life. Don't let anybody in our world tell you anything different. And they are pressing hard for it. Don't get numb in hearing that mainstream news tell you over and over and over and over and over and over and over. In fact, it not ought be over and over. You ought to turn it off. Because listen to something enough times, you'll start to warm up to the fact that maybe there's something to it. There ought not be any sin come through that we hear. You know, just as David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, it ought to apply to your ears as well. I will listen to no wicked thing. And I want to tell you something. If the media is telling you something that goes against God's word, you need to turn it off, because eventually you're going to warm up to the fact. And there are Christians today that are starting to warm up to the fact that maybe, just maybe, it's not that big of a deal to abort a child that is not born yet. God says that was a person, and God had them in mind before they came out of the womb. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, that's gospel truth right there. That is the truth, and you ought to adhere to that. The sanctity of life, created in God's image. God has further not just created us, but he has put mankind over all other forms of life. We are over the animals, brothers and sisters. We are not an animal that has equal rights. You laugh at that, but I want to tell you something. Our world today is teaching us that our animals have just as much rights as we are. I'm going to tell you something, that's not truth. I'll show it to you. Go back to Genesis 1:28. Well, 26 and 28. This is God's Word laying down the foundation. This is God's Word laying down the doctrine of everything that we believe. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28. We see some very important things. Verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them," who is them? Man and woman, humanity, mankind. "Let them have," what's the next word? "Dominion." Dominion over the fish of the sea. You know what that means? There is no fish that is on equal plane of a man. Not one. He says, "Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air." Guess what? There is no bird that has equal rights as a man. God did not make a bird or a fish in His image. It is alone given to mankind, humanity. No bird, no fish. Over the cattle, there is no cow, there is no beast, there is no other animal that has equal rights to mankind. Why, you say, "Pastor, why are you telling this?" Because I'm telling you the truth, and the world is preaching and teaching against that every single day. And it might be subtle, you might not understand it, but they're telling you, and they're telling it not only to the adults on TV, they're telling it to the children in their books. You go to the library today and it will sicken you. You look at the books that they're producing for our children to read, and they're teaching these very things. You know what? The television, the movie production out there, they have an agenda against everything that I'm giving you right now. And they want us to understand that we're not made in God's image. They want us to understand that we are nothing more than, in fact, in some rights, we're less than most animals. It's a shame. It is a shame. Mankind has been, God has given for us to be have dominion over these things, over every living thing. We see in verse 28, God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." There is not one little amoeba that is any better. But isn't it amazing that we can protect a little thing in some wetlands, but we have no vision to protect a human life that God says is life? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I'm not just out there pounding the pulpit today. There's an application to this, but you've got to get it first. There's a truth that is here. Don't for a moment let the thought entertain in your mind that there is other life outside of humanity that is important as we are. It doesn't mean that an animal is not important, but it has no comparison to mankind in God's eyes. And that's why God sent Jesus to die for mankind. He didn't send some savior dog or cat. He sent Jesus as a human being, and I'm not being facetious about that. He sent a human to die for a human. That's truth. That's truth. It's humanity. It's humanity. And it's nothing about humanity. It's all about a good God. The world would like to teach us otherwise. "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you." In Genesis 9, verse 3. "Even as the green herb have I given you all things." The sanctity of life we see in the created, in God's, we see that mankind is over all forms of other life. Look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. "And God said in truth that it's wrong to murder." Did you hear that? Look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made He man." That means that God made man, and man doesn't have any right to take man's life. Folks, what I'm giving you is truth. This is God's Word. You don't hear that today around the world and around the United States, but this is the truth. This is the truth. And it's important that you see the truth. We understand that we're created in God's image. We understand that God has given us to subdue it and to be over the other elements of life. He has forbidden murder. And He's given us commandments in the New Testament that we're supposed to follow God and obey Him and do what He's called us to do. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, can I make a statement before we move on to the next point? God has spoken concerning the sanctity of human life. And by the way, I just touched on a couple verses. Question, do you understand that? And I'm looking for nods. Do you understand that God in His Word has spoken concerning the value and importance of human life? Do you understand that? It's truth. This is not something made up. I just showed you in a few verses the sanctity of life. God has spoken. It is clear. What about the identity of life? The identity of life. We're talking about male and female. Question, has God spoken in His Word about that? He has. And we see, first of all, the institution of male and female. We go back to the book of beginnings, which is Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. And again, a verse I already read, verse 27. Here we have truth being given. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He him. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. That right there is truth. God created man and He created woman. There were no mixing. There was no confusion. God created Adam and He created Eve. There was no question. They didn't have to wait in life to discover anything. And there would be no change. What was man is always man, and what was woman is always woman. No matter what mankind decides to do, that's what God set forward in His Word. That's foundational truth. That's the way God created. And you find nothing else about anything else. Period. In the Scriptures. Except for Romans chapter 1 that condemns any mankind trying to do something different than that. God has put this in place and there is no discrepancy. Genesis chapter 1, look in verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, you read the next four words. It was very good. And mankind today is trying to say there's something else better than man and woman. Do you see the truth? I ask you, and I'm looking for nods. Do you see the truth? Has God spoken on the identity of life? He has. He has through the institution of male and female. We see that He's spoken in the decline of truth. Go to Romans chapter 1 just for a moment. And we're going to come back to Romans chapter 1 just in a moment. Well, we'll go ahead and address it now since we're here. Go to Romans chapter 1. And you remember, because these people were not thankful and they did not glorify God. Do you realize, and I'm not preaching on that today, do you realize how dangerous it is for God to be good to you and not to thank Him and recognize Him for it? You know what the result of it is? Everybody listen. When we're not thankful individuals for what God's doing in our lives, no matter if you feel like your life is a struggle right now, when we're not thankful and we don't glorify God, the end result is what I'm about to read. And by the way, I really believe that where we're at today in America is because way back there were some people that weren't grateful and thankful. And today they're trying to take away Thanksgiving. And you wonder why we're at where we're at today. It's because they've tried to take away Thanksgiving. They've tried to take away being thankful to a good God that's given to us so much And he gave that back to those pilgrims. They don't even want to talk about Indians and pilgrims today because they want you to think there were no such thing. That's not truth. And we ought to thank God. And in Romans chapter 1, it says, they weren't grateful and they weren't thankful. And in verses 24 to 27, there's the product. There's the product. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up into a vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men and women, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. These verses address two things. We have mankind changing who God made them naturally, and then also applying that in their relationships with other man also, which is unseemly and unnatural. Folks, I want to tell you something. Everybody look up here. God has spoken. Truth has been given. Don't let anybody teach you anything different than one man, one woman in marriage for life, and nothing else is even in God's realm. Not anything else is a part of what God has said. This is truth. But I want to tell you something. You watch that media and you watch that news and you go to it day in and day out, and you hear it. And eventually there's going to be some people that are shaking their heads today that tomorrow are going to say, is that really that big of a deal? And I'll tell you that I was one of the ones that went ahead and approached one of our representatives of our state, asking them to consider this Equality Act that's coming out there today, that has already been passed in the House of Representatives and waiting for the Senate. And I'll tell you something, that if this thing passes, they are going against God's word right here in the truth. They are going against that, and they're saying that is okay. But I'll tell you, as I wrote one of them, one of the responses that I got back was this: who are we to tell anybody else who they can love? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. God said it. God said it. God said it in His word. God said it, and that's the truth, and that ought to settle it in our minds. There is nothing else. And if it's given out there, then you need to tune it out and get rid of it. You need to get rid of it, because that's not the truth. They're going against God. And I want to tell you something. As they go against God, there is going to be some recompensing someday for it. Beware. There's a danger in the Word of God for influencing our children to change. Do you realize that today, there are people that you probably know of that have been in leadership in this very place that are on a more federal level now, that are making recommendations that it's okay for children that are young, that have no clue what's going on, that they can, without their parents, they can go in and they can make decisions to change who they are and their gender and do all this stuff, that they don't have to go to their parents. Folks, I want to tell you something. They're offending these little children. You know that Luke chapter 17 addresses that issue? In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, listen to this. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Let me tell you, our world is wicked and wrong, and they're trying to give permission to these little ones that have no clue what's going on in their lives. Let me ask you a question. Is it okay? Is it okay to let them do this? It's not okay, brothers and sisters. It's not okay. It's wicked. God's word has spoken, but I'll tell you what, I'm concerned. Our world has... Are you surprised at where our world has come just in the last little bit? I want to tell you something. They have moved and moved and moved, and it's been something that's going on. You know, when the day that they decided to take the Bible out of schools and get, you know, and make all these changes about how we've got to remove God from everything, that was the day when all this starts. And we are suffering today because of some poor choices that were made a long time ago, and we continue to do that. Well, I will say this, that we've got to be careful, because there are Christians that are sitting in churches just like this that are hearing this stuff over and 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 over again. And people are starting to get warmed up to the idea that it's not that big of a deal. I want to tell you something. If God's Word said it, and God's Word condemned it, then it's a big deal. It is a big deal, and it is killing our nation. It's killing our families. It's killing us. It's killing our churches. Because we got a lot of people right now sticking signs up in the yard that says, love your brother and love your neighbor. And I want to tell you something, they're twisting the truth. They are twisting the truth. God says that we ought to love our brothers and sisters, right? But that indication right there, what they're trying to say, that we ought to love our brothers above and beyond some things that God has said. We got to be clear. We've got to make the truth consistent. Yes, we ought to love our brothers and sisters, but we've got to stick with the truth of God's Word. Stick with the truth. We need to be careful to go away from the truth. And this whole thing, we're back to men and women. This thing is just bombarding our society today. You know, did God ever speak out even about what the clothing of a man and a woman? He did. Deuteronomy chapter 22 said that a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination to the Lord thy God. We're tearing down all barriers, all distinctions. Question, has God spoken concerning the identity of life? What's the answer? Yes. God has spoken concerning the sanctity of life. He has spoken concerning the identity of life. What about the authority of life? What about the authority of life? Is our world confronting the authority of life? Brothers and sisters, listen up. The authority of life is being confronted today on levels that you don't understand. The authority. God has given three realms of authority. Listen, everybody listen. Under God. Under God. Who is the ultimate authority in every situation? Who is it? God. Do you believe that? Are there verses in the Bible that tell us that? Absolutely. You know what the first verse is that tell us? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Guess who's the ultimate authority of every other institution in the world? Who is the authority? God is. God is the authority. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Psalm 103 and verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Question, no matter what, who do I always obey? Always. What's the answer? God, always. Do you have that? Is that clear truth? Always. And we could go through hundreds of verses concerning that. In fact, the entire Bible speaks out to that. Okay, that's not disputed. But isn't it true that God has given us other levels of authority under God? He has. In fact, God has given three main branches of authority that He's given to us. First of all, we have human government. Has God given human government to us to follow? Yes, He has. In fact, we see. Do you remember Jesus spoke out and He says, to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You remember that? Okay, so we're talking about human government. We're talking about civil issues in life that God has given an authority to for us to obey. God has given that. In fact, Romans chapter 13 that so many people want to go to, is very clear about a certain level of authority that God has given. Romans chapter 13 is not necessarily speaking to all authority. It's speaking to civil authority, government authority. And in that certain realm, under God, God has given government to be an authority in our lives. Okay? So God has given to us human or government, human government as an authority. And there are various leveled leaders and groups that are involved in this. We have a president and a vice president, but then we also have governors and we have mayors and we have all kinds of different levels of human government and authority in our lives. Okay, I think you understand that. And again, Romans chapter 13 is one of these realms. You know, this is addressed in obedience, one of these realms of government. There's another ruling entity that God has given to us as well, and that would be the institution of the church. God has given the church with a head and followers. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ, very clearly, is the head of the church. Okay? Now, under that head, God has placed in his word and his authority other levels of leadership, just like president and governors. Under the headship of Jesus Christ, an individual local church has a pastor that's supposed to be the ruling element of that church. That's a clear thing that God has given. In a congregation, there's the opportunity in that congregation for the church to rule in a certain way as far as the hiring and firing of a pastor. And there's different levels of authority there. But God has given another realm, by the way, that is outside and different than human government. Now, can I put it this way? Everybody look up here. We have God as the main authority over everything. Under God, there is one level. There is the church, or there's human government, there's the church, and then the third thing that I give you is the home. And the home is altogether a different realm. And who has God given to, but I didn't look at some verses last. By the way, I think you understand that Jesus Christ is the head. Colossians 1:18. One of my goals is for you to see the scriptures. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body. By the way, this is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Okay, so there's the authority established. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This is a passage, one of the passages that establishes a pastor as a ruler, an overseer. Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which hath purchased with his own blood. Okay, so there's the pastor, and we can look at Ephesians. I want to go to the third element. Kind of confuse you there going back. I just wanted to give you some support scriptures there. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 also speak of Jesus being the head. There's a third realm, okay? We have God. Is God over everything? Yes. Did God give human government? Yes, and their rulers and leaders. Did God give the church? Yes, and its leadership, right? And then the third thing over here is our home. And who did God put in charge of the home? Okay, we go to the book of Ephesians, and we see here an establishment, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. In regard to mom and dad, or husband and wife, we see that the husband is supposed to be the lead. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And then we see in chapter 6, under these parents, so we have the husband, and we have the wife, who is under her husband. But then as parents, under them, we have, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. And so you see the flow there. There is a pattern that has been given. God has given three realms of ruling authority, all under Him, and He has placed leadership in every one of these things. Can I tell you that that authority that God has placed in government, in church, and in the home is being bombarded today? It is being destroyed today. Number one, they're saying that we don't have to obey God, okay? Well, if we're not obeying God, then we're completely wrong. We miss out on every authority. But you realize that in each one of these realms, the head is who we go to in that specific realm. Did God make the father of the home, the dad or the husband of the home, the ruling element in the government? What's the answer? I'm talking about human civil government. I was probably confusing. Did God make me the ruling element in our country? No. I'm for who? Well, you can say the church. Okay, you're getting me. I was really referring to the home, okay? I was referring to my own home, okay? These folks that are sitting right there and in various other places. I was talking about that. God has given my authority in my home, period. Yes, I am an under-shepherd under Jesus Christ for this church, yes. As a pastor, now I was speaking as a father, as a pastor, has God given me the authority as a pastor over the government, over human government? Has He made me that? Do I have a right to go to the government and say, this is what's supposed to happen? No. Now, I can preach the Word of God in a local church setting of what's supposed to happen, but God didn't make me the presiding ruler over a country. None of these heads in any of these ruling authorities is supposed to go out of their bounds and rule the other. Do you realize that the government is not supposed to tell the church what to do? Do you recognize that, folks? You've got to understand the truth. God never, ever, ever put that human government, that civil government, over the church. Never. In fact, it was supposed to be separate. And any place that ever did that went bad. It happened in other places in Europe where the church decided to take control over the government, and it was wrong and it was ungodly. But there were times when human government decided to overstep its bounds and go into the church, and that was against God. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you that our world is trying to water that down and tell us that the human government, civil government, has the authority over the church, and God never gave it to them. Can I tell you that that is what I'm telling you is the truth. That's what God said. All authority is under God. And nobody is supposed to overstep its bounds. Nobody. The church has freedom as a church to decide for themselves what they believe and how they're going to live. And it's within the church under Christ. And the families under the father and then the mother have the opportunity within their own home to decide, and here's how we're going to live. And there's no civil government or even church, if I can say government, that is heading that and telling them what to do. Is that clear? That's the way God has made it. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be careful to blend all these together because it's going to have some fruits that are devastating. Are you hearing this? If we decide to say, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal to let the government tell the church what they are to do. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we would be ready for a fall if we're going to listen to government authorities telling us in the church what we're supposed to do. And I know what I'm saying right now is not real popular with a lot of people, but it's the truth. And Faith Bible Church is going to be in trouble if we go to that point. Because I'll tell you, there's a whole lot more than what's going on right now that's coming down the pike. And we've got to... as a body of believers in this church, you've got to understand something right now. Right now, we don't have another day to wait. Right now, we've got to make a choice, and we've got to understand the truth or a lie. And the truth is that we follow who God has put over us. And who we're going to follow and who we're not. That's Bible, folks. That is God's Word. And we must be grounded that way. Don't ever let your mind go away from that. This is truth. And then we have the truth of life. And that is very simply God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I tell you that the world is also trying to tear this down, that the Bible is not our source of truth? And if you throw out this book, then we have nothing to go on and we cave into every single thing that's out there. We must stand strong for this book right here. It is the source of everything that we have, every single thing that we have. Now, I've just given you some major things that are being attacked today. And if you listen to what's going on out there and you become familiar, so familiar with it that you take it every day, every moment, if you continue to take it, there's going to become a point to where we are going to step back. Everybody catch this. We're going to step back and we're going to say, my church and pastor are really strong on these things, but do we really need to be this tough? Why? It's not worth, listen, this is the words of the world. It's not worth division. It's not worth fighting over. We need to have unity and we need to be together. Now, pause. Does God want us to have unity? Mm-hmm. Does God want us to have peace? Mm-hmm. Does God want us to get along with the people in the world? What's the answer? Mm-hmm. Every race? Every color? Yes. Does God love everyone? Yes, He does. For God so loved the world. God wants us to live in harmony with mankind. God wants us to get along together. God wants us to be at peace. But I'll tell you that all this is through the blood of Jesus Christ and His truth. He never, ever, ever said, compromise to love. He said, I want you to love and I want you to stand for the truth. Yet the world is lying to you. I want to tell you something. Everybody listen. The world is lying to you today. And the world is telling you, the four things that I went through is saying, listen, the sanctity of life. I think your Bible, Christian, is just a little bit strong. The identity of life. Christian, I know that that's the way it was a long time ago, but your Bible and your preacher are just a little bit strong here. You need to broaden your horizons and get a little bit more modern in your thinking. The authority of life is being eroded away by the world that's saying, no, you need to listen to us. And I'm going to tell you, all that it produces is wishy-washy individuals that will do whatever somebody wants to say. And we will be at fault. Did you hear that? It will be our faults that we end up in the mess that we are in today. Now let me shock you. We're about 7 or 8 minutes over. That was kind of my introduction. And Pastor Dan is preaching tonight, so I can't go over. I can't say, well, we'll just do it tonight. But what I think we're going to do is look at it next week because it's too important. I'm just going to read the rest of the verse. You say, "Well, we are looking at is the word therefore." But let me tell you, there's practical application from all the basis and truth that has been learned. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Next week, we'll have to look at the practical applications. But brothers and sisters, I think we've got enough truth this morning. Understand, truth is important. Truth is important, and we need to be ready to stand. And that's what the verse is going to talk about. We need to be prepared to stand, but we'll have to look at that next week. Standing for what is right. Doing what is right because of what He is and what He's done for us. Father, it's not the way I planned for it this morning, but Lord, it's the way You planned it. Lord, and I've given the truth. We've discovered the truth from You this morning, and we see it's so important. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts and lives, even if this morning is just a determination and looking at this is like, wow, I've got to be so careful. Oh Lord, would You help us? God, would You help us? Help us to understand the truth. And help us to be so careful in not letting these lies come into our ears and into our eyes and into our actions and into the way we operate. It's happening in our country. It's happening in our local situations. Lord, it's happening in our churches. It's happening in our families. It's happening in our individual lives. God, help us. Help us. We need Your help. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The small song, 635, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, my applications were going to come from this, so I can't get into those because I haven't preached them yet. But